Well, my dear friends, we left off with looking at the joy of the Lord with Nehemiah, and we had talked about that the joy can be there regardless of what's going on, because we recognize that according to Romans 8:28, where it says, "And I know," I'm going to repeat that, "and I know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes." So that when we're able to have that experience that is good or that is difficult, we can always come back to that point and say, "I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that all this is going to turn out for the good." It doesn't say that it is good. You've heard me say that so many times. But it means it will work out somehow, some way. Eventually, we will know. So, I left you off with this question, and I want to repeat it today. The troubles that you're facing, the trials that you're facing right now today, that you're going through, the personal ones you're going through, how are you handling it? How are you doing with it? Are you standing in faith and trusting in God that he is going to fulfill Romans 8:28 in your life, and that you'll have that spiritual calm? You'll have that peace. You'll have that joy, that confidence that's in you that God is in control. He is sovereign. He knows what he's doing. And we just have to line up with him. And we can have that joy when we're going through some very difficult times. Or are you facing it like so many other people do, and many Christians do it this way? They have a lack of trust, and they're trying to get through it on their own strength and their own logic and their own understanding. I'm going to barrel through this, and I'm going to make it out the other end. And God's not part of it. And it leads to frustration and stress in our lives. And stress can be a killer physically for us, folks. Scientists have found that out, that stress contributes to heart problems and all kinds of other problems in our life. And God does not want us to be stressed out. God doesn't want us to be frustrated. He wants us to abide in that joy. Listen to what Jesus said in the Gospel of John in chapter 15, verse 11. He says this, listen closely. "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." As students, have I not always taught you to look four key words in any verse? And the key words in this verse here, he says that my joy, the joy that Jesus gives, so we recognize there's a joy that we can get when we know Jesus, when we accept Jesus. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes in us and all the blessings of God comes into our lives. We belong to him. We're his child. He's our father. We're going to be able to spend eternity with him. All these tremendous blessings. But there's another one that some people just don't seem to grab hold of. And that is, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And here it says, "And my joy," this is Jesus speaking, "my joy might remain." That's the other key word. Circle it. Remain in you. It doesn't say that it might come upon you for a couple days and go away for a week or a month, come back for a moment. No, that it might remain in you. No matter what you're facing, happy days, sad days, frustrating days, wonderful days, the joy of the Lord is in you and remains in you, and God wants it to remain in you. And he doesn't want just an itty-bitty small amount in your life. For the rest of the verse says that your joy, so that Jesus' joy might remain in us, a constant, he goes on to say that your joy now, Pete Mallinger, your joy, fill in the blank, might be full. What does that word full mean? It just means flooding over. God wants us to have His joy flooding over in the innermost part of our being, not just a little bit of it, not just a little bit of it. He wants you to have the fullness of that joy. He wants you to be able to experience that joy. Why? Because that's what the scripture is saying, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we have that joy that remains in us, regardless of what's going on, we have that calm internal understanding that God is sovereign, God is in control, then we can have that joy that remains and is full in us. So, two big things in that verse right there. Jesus said, my joy is in you, and I want it to be full, so your joy will be full. Boy, what a blessing and a heart that God has for us, that He would impart unto us the joy, and that it might be full. So, to get the joy, we must first have His joy. Let me say that again. To get the joy in our life to be our strength, we must first have His joy. Now, that comes by trusting in God, believing that Jesus truly is God, that He died for your sins, that He rose from the dead, He proved that everything He did on the cross was true by raising from the dead. He ascends into heaven, and He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, and we have the joy of the Lord as part of the package deal. It is in us, which means He wants it to remain. He wants it to remain. That means at all times, not just during the happy times. He wants it to be there at all times. So that means we have to do what James tells us when trials come. James had some great insight. This was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He had some great insight on the joy of the Lord. Listen to what he says in chapter 1 of James, verse 2. He exhorts us. It says, count it all joy when, not if, when you fall into various trials. Jesus himself said that we're going to have tribulation in this world. He says, you're going to have tribulation, but I want you to be of good cheer, for I have overcome. Why? Because we can count it all joy when we fall into diverse trials, various trials, because God has filtered the things that happen to us. Oh, there's natural things that happen to us, and there's spiritual things that happen to us, but God is fully aware of what's going to happen to you. Some of it could be devastating, but through it, we can still count it all joy. How in the world can you say that? Because ultimately we're going to heaven. And what a blessing it is. We get so fixated on ourselves here on this earth and what we can achieve and what we can get and all the different things that are pulling at us and tugging at us and the commercials that we're bombarded with to make you feel like you're whole. And Jesus is saying, in me, you can have the fullness of joy. And that joy will remain in you. And that includes in our trials. If we approach them with the proper attitude that James just had for us, there in chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, we can recognize that troubles come in this world. One of the best ways to go through them properly is say, Jesus, if there's something you want me to learn here, I pray that you would teach it to me. And I wouldn't mind if you teach it to me quickly so I can move on and enjoy that joy in another way and not just through a trial. Now, it's important to grow in maturity in our Christian lives. And it's important to grow in our maturity in what I'm about to say to you right now. Circumstances in our life must not be attached to the joy of the Lord. Let me repeat that. Listen closely. Circumstances, the things that are going on that are not necessarily wonderful in our eyes, that are happening in our life, must not be attached or associated with the joy of the Lord. You know, some people put so much attachment on their feelings instead of the spiritual truths. The spiritual truth has already been given to us, where John in chapter 15, 11 that I just shared with you says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Those are spiritual truths that God says, Jesus said, that my joy would remain in you and that you would have a fullness of them. He didn't say only when the good times are there. He also said that my joy would remain with you always. It is always there, not just in the good times. It breaks my heart when I run into somebody, go, "Hey, how you doing? It's great to see you. How you been?" And they come back with some response like this: "Well, I guess okay under the circumstances." Oh my goodness. Do you know what that means? That means that they have placed themselves under the circumstances and they're being weighed down by them and they're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. You can have circumstances, but you should rise above them because you're a child of God. You know your destiny. You know what's going to happen to you in your life. And you can say, "I am in a learning process right now that my joy is not going to leave me. I'm experiencing it no matter what's going on in my life." Literally, just a little bit ago, out in the office, somebody was asking me a question about me, and I was sharing, you know, some things to them about it, and I had a smile on my face, and they just said to me, "Wow, you know, you're going through a lot, and you've got such a joy about it." And I just smiled and said, "Why not? What's my alternative? I can have the joy of the Lord, or I could be baptized in lemon juice and look like a sourpuss all the time." Now, it's important that we understand why we might have trials in our life. They're not to prove to God that you're worthy. So many people teach that. God's testing you to see if you're worthy. You mean God has to test you to know something that he already knows? No. What it is, it's a time, like we talked about last week. Remember last week I said, in regards to Romans 8:28, you know, that they say, and, you know, "I know that all things will work together for the good for those who love God and called according to the purposes." And I know that this is going to work out for the good. And I said to you, if you could peel back, you would find that these people that can say that now when they're going through trials have gone through trials and they've learned to see that God is faithful and that things do work out for the good. Sometimes trials in our lives God allows to come to bring us into maturity, to assist us in our ministry. What? We have problems to be a better minister? Absolutely. And by the way, you're all ministers, you're ambassadors of Christ. Listen to what, when you have problems come into your life, you can handle it in the spirit or you can handle it in the flesh. And too many Christians handle their problems in the flesh, and it breaks my heart. Lack of trust, lack of faith, and yet they proclaim they're Christians walking in the spirit. But it's not the case. Trials come to everybody, for it rains on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. It rains on all of us. Just because you're a Christian and there's a rainstorm going out there, you think that you know, your buddy that's a non-believer, he's going to get wet and you're going to walk out in that rainstorm and you're not going to get wet unless you have an umbrella. Well, it rains on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. But why do we go through trials, and why is it that we should have a joy in the midst of them? The answer is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to what Paul said. And you talk about people who went through trials. Read about his life. Read about the things that he had to go through to bring the gospel to people. Things that we'll never experience. And yet we have little pouty faces all the time when little things happen. But here's a man who has gone through tremendous trials, and he says this. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is verse 3, once again, of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. Now listen, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ Jesus. Do you understand what that's saying? That when you are actually going through tribulations, when you are going through trials, you're going through difficulties, if you go through them, not under the circumstances, but above the circumstances. How do you get above the circumstances? Well, have trust, have faith that God is there with you. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That you are there and God is with you, and he desires to comfort you. Remember, Jesus said himself, it's imperative that I go back to heaven, to the Father, that my Father would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will be with you, around you, he'll be in you, and he will baptize you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to have that knowledge. Even in the midst of the trials, God is in our lives. Jesus said he'd never leave us, nor would he forsake us. Now, I know this to be true. That with the comfort that I have experienced and the different things that I have experienced in life, I am able to take that comfort. And when people are going through similar things, then you know what? I can comfort them by encouraging them that God comforted me and carried me through. And because I've experienced it, they can experience it too. Now, there may be places in your life that I will never be able to comfort you with. For an example, I can't have a baby. I can't have a baby. I don't know what it's like to have a baby. I don't know what it's like to have birth pains. I don't know any of that stuff. But I know that other people do, other women who have had babies, who would have that, and they can comfort you when the times are difficult. I understand what it's like to lose through miscarriage. I know how God can comfort me on that. I know God can comfort you on that. These are things I can do, but there's certain things I can't do. And that's why God uses us all as the body of Christ, that the things that you go through that I can't go through because I'm just physically not possible, or I just have not had that experience, just like you have not had experiences like I have had. I have not had experiences like you have had, where the Lord has comforted you. And you are able to comfort people who are going through the same trial. So God desires to take that trial, raise you above the circumstances, to experience the joy of the Lord, that calming peace, that comfort that comes from God, so that when other things happen to somebody else that you've experienced, God brings you to them so that you could comfort them. And the way that you could do that is because you have that joy of the Lord that gives you strength, that enables you to do that with. So if I have to suffer a little bit so that I can comfort other people and encourage other people in the circumstances that they're going through, I am more than happy to go through that. But I want to encourage you, do not let circumstances rob you of God's joy. I have had to go through lots of things, but I still have that peace, that joy that's unspeakable, that's God's glory, because He's given it to me, and I know that God will give it to you. If you'll abide in Christ, He will give it to you, because I'm not going to let circumstances rob me of joy, because I love to live in that place that God has promised me, that His joy would remain in me, and that my joy would be full, even in the midst of circumstances. And that means I can learn my lessons through the trials I go through, that I could also help other people experience this as well. Now, do not, please, do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not saying that Christians are always happy. There's a difference between happiness and joyfulness. Happiness depends on what's happening. Happiness depends on the things that are going on. Even in the midst of a heartbreak and circumstances, you may not be happy, but you can still, down deep in the depths of your being, you can experience that spiritual joy of Christ, that nothing on this earth will be able to separate you from the love of Christ, to separate you from that joy that Jesus has. Like I mentioned, Paul went through many things. I think that if you recall Paul and Silas, you know the story where Paul and Silas were whipped and they were beaten, and there in Philippi, they were thrown into prison. The whippings on their back had not even been, you know, washed out. And what did they do? They ended up throwing them in the prison. They put chains in them and stocks. And what was taking place at midnight? They were going, "Woe is me. Woe, woe, woe. My back is killing me. Woe, woe, woe. Why am I even a Christian? Oh, no, no, no." Were they doing that? It said they were singing a praise song. They were singing unto the Lord. Their backs were whipped. The dirt of that dungeon was in them. They were chained up, and they weren't letting the circumstances rob them of worshiping God and experiencing the joy of the Lord. And what transpired? May not always transpire exactly this way. It probably never will exactly this way for you. But there was a great earthquake that shook the prison up, and all the doors flung open. The chains and the stocks broke off of people. And the jailer was about ready to stab himself, because he would have to pay the punishment and serve their sentence if anyone escaped. And Paul must have been able to see him. And he said, "Don't do it. We're alive. We're here." And he walked in. The jailer did, and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul was able to preach to him. He said, "For you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your household too." It didn't mean that the household was saved because he believed. It means if they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be saved too, just like you. And you could be a born-again Christian, but it doesn't guarantee your kids are going to be a born-again Christian. They have to submit themselves to Jesus as well. So we see that Paul was a perfect example of that. We also see that there's times in our lives that we hold a position, and then all of a sudden that position might start dwindling. And when you have the right attitude, then you have the joy of the Lord. I think John the Baptist, there in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 29 and 30, when John had already baptized Jesus, and Jesus has gotten his disciples, and they were up in a certain region, and there was lots of water around. John was over here baptizing some people over here. Jesus' disciples were over here baptizing, and some of the people came to John the Baptist and says, "Hey, the one that was, you know, that you baptized, he's over there, the one that you proclaimed about. What are your feelings towards that? I mean, he's taking away all these people. They're all going to him." And what did John the Baptist say? "This is my joy." Oh, John the Baptist had joy. "This is my joy. Therefore, it's fulfilled that he, Jesus, that he, John the Baptist, is saying about Jesus, that he, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease." If you want the joy of the Lord, my friends, we must do the same thing. We must stop putting ourselves on the throne of our lives. Step off of it. Put Jesus on the throne of your life. Trust him to be the loving King and Savior that he is, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and your best friend. And trust him to watch over you and to protect you. And remember that promise. Jesus said that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Next week, we're going to look at the last part of this on how we can come to that point that the joy is there, that it will stay there, but that it will be full. God wants it to be full. And there's another step that we'll look at next week to ensure that the joy of the Lord will be full in your life, as it is in all of our lives if we do this next step. And we will look at that in part 3 next week, my dear friends.